This is the perfect example of mine and Jeffrey's relationship. It was Nashville last year, Nashville race weekend. I guess the race was Sunday. It had rained and delayed the finish of the race. My wife was in town with me, and I had planned to stay in town after the race and go home in the morning. I'm calling Amy, and I'm like, man, I'm going to get there when I get there. Rain delay. So I ended up getting to Broadway like 1 or 12 o'clock midnight. We drank some beers and had a great time. We come out of the bar at about 1, 1:30, and I run into Jeffrey. And Jeffrey's happy to see me, and I'm happy to see him. But we're meeting at the end of the night. Damn it, for once, I wish we could meet earlier in the night. You know, because I would have loved to have spent those 2 hours in Nashville with you. Hey everybody, it's Dale Jr. back again for another episode of the Dale Jr. Download on this Wednesday, February 22nd, 2023. I'm sitting here at the table. I'm not with Mike Davis today. Mike is under the weather this week and trying to get well so he can get back into the studio. But Kelly Earnhardt, my sister, is going to join me in the Bojangles studio. Kelly, we're going to have guest Jeffrey Earnhardt on, and I thought you were a great person to come in here and help me have this interview. Jeffrey's been on the show before, but hey, you know the family pretty well. You know Jeffrey, and maybe we can dig up some new information.
All right, I'm ready. Yesterday I finally had to ask you, were you asking me to be on here?
Yeah, that's right.
He was talking about his guest and Mike being sick, and I'm like, hey, are you asking me to be the co-host? Because I'm ready.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Jeffrey, he's got a lot going on in his life, and we're always kind of curious as to where he's at and what his plans are. And so we'll get to talk to him today. That'll be a lot of fun. You're surrounded by all these diecasts. We've got some new ones on the table. Yeah, which one's missing?
Mine.
Where is it? Did we have it up here?
I don't know.
Well, we got Lionel's supporting us this year, and we're thankful for that. And so you'll see some new diecasts pop up on the table from time to time. I actually got a new one given to me, Neil Bonnet. So fans now bring me diecasts to the racetrack, and they hand me some cool stuff. I got an autographed Neil Bonnet. Winners.
I think I might have saw that.
Hauler. Yeah, it's really cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah. And there's another one on the table right here. This fan did a damaged version of a car I raced at Martinsville, where I'm missing my fender, and I finished in the top five. One of the funnest races I can remember having at Martinsville.
Yeah, I see that from here. You got a little damage on your bumper
there. Yeah, they did a detailed job with that. But we're thankful for Lionel, especially some of the next gen cars. Got Joe Logano's up there and Austin Cindric.
Oh yeah,
Daytona 500 winner.
I haven't seen the big 124th next gen. That's awesome.
Pretty cool. The one thing too, man, a new tool coming for the late model stock car. I'm staring right at an old tool of the Sundrop car right now, and I cannot wait to see this new version for the late model stock cars. And a lot of people are going to have fun making customs of that. They take it and sandblast it and create something of their own. Maybe they got a family member or whatever. But anyways, we're looking forward to getting Jeffrey in the room. He's definitely an ally for us. We want to thank Ally for supporting the guest segment of this show. They bring us all our guests every single week. Ally is doing great things in this sport. If you missed the commercial spot that they ran in the Daytona 500, I don't know how you did, but you can find that on all of our social handles. We worked on that together with Alex Bowman, and I was really, really proud to be asked to be a part of that and really happy with the final product. Ally, again, doing great things in our sport. So why don't we go ahead and get started, get Jeffrey in here. Here he comes.
Surprise, surprise, I'm not Mike Davis.
I know. Changed it up on us.
We did. Jeffrey, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
What you been doing?
Been busy. Just getting ready for race season. It's been a crazy couple months, but it's been fun.
Where'd you come from this morning?
My house.
Okay. Yeah. All right. How far do you live from me?
From you, like a stone's throw away.
Really?
Yeah. Hey. Not too far. Right through.
Yeah. All right. So, who are you driving for this year?
Run for Alpha Prime Racing this year. Made this switch together.
How'd that deal come together?
Well, we're trying to look at, whether we re-sign with Sam. Obviously, they had some good stuff going over there, and we had some good runs last year. And really no complaints with that whole deal. And then we got to looking at Alpha Prime and how they, you know, ran at the end of the year last year with Stephen Parsons. They had some really strong runs. So just started weighing our odds out, and I really wanted to compete full season and do something where I can gain some momentum. And, you know, I saw the strengths that they had and thought, you know, well, let's see what they had going on. And, you know, Tommy and Caesar, they've talked to me about coming to drive for them before, and I was like, man, I don't know. You know, they were a young team, you know, getting going. And like I said, the biggest decision maker was seeing the success they had at the end of the year last year. So we made the decision to go back to a Chevrolet and go racing with those guys.
Yeah, that's right. I guess you did change manufacturer. You'd had built some equity with Toyota, and I know that was important to you. So that was probably a tough decision to make that change.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Toyota's been super good to me and, you know, giving me sim time and stuff, even at times when they didn't have to. So I was always very thankful for that. And, you know, they've done right by me, and, you know, it is tough, but, you know, at the same time, full season racing was a big part to switching, you know, to the team I went with.
Yeah, so that was the deal. So with to stay where you were, you was going to have to do part-time again, and this was a chance to race every week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so how did that come about, you know, to be able to do something full-time? I know that you work really hard on your sponsors. I was calculating the years of how long you've been doing this, and it's, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that you've been at this for yourself for 17 years, you know, trying to make it and get to the point where you can run full-time with a competitive race team.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you know, as y'all know, it's tough to find sponsors these days, and I've been blessed to be partnered with the Fervalon guys. They've been a supporter of mine for 3 years now, and just been amazing people, amazing part of my life, my career, and just been, I mean, they work just as hard as I do to try and find more sponsorship. So Dale and Brian Carmody, the two owners, they've been just amazing, and I can't thank them enough, because they've been a big part to a lot of the sponsors that we brought in on top of what we've already got from them. So, yeah, very fortunate and blessed to be able to go and compete full season this year, and it's, as y'all know, all thanks to the sponsors that we have behind us.
What is Fervalon?
So they do synthetic turf. They are the Mercedes-Benz of turf. They know they got it's a little bit more expensive, but it's a much better quality product. And they got everything from, you know, your normal landscape grass, stuff that looks just like normal grass, to your putting greens, to canine grass, stuff that, you know, your dogs can go use the bathroom on. It's going to drain through and clean up nice. So yeah, it's amazing people, amazing product. They're doing a lot of football fields now. Announced a deal with the Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
So I don't know that they're doing the actual field that they're working on, but they're partnered with them and doing a lot of stuff. The official turf of the NFL Hall of Fame, Village, and they just got a lot going on. Yeah. I'm excited to be a part of what they got going.
So 33 years old, man. What is a typical day like when you're not at the racetrack?
It depends. What type of year? What time of year is it? If it's Newland season, might be out on the
water.
What's up?
Yeah, we've talked about that. You were on our show in 2019. You're still into the Newland.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah,
what is the Newland season?
Typically runs May to the beginning of August.
And Newland is reaching down in the mud and pulling a catfish out of a hole or something.
Yeah. Yeah. We simulate basically the traditional way is a hole in the bank. That's the way it all got started. But catfish will spawn. Their eggs can't see UV rays, so they have to spawn under a structure in a hole, something like that. So, you know, stumps, banks, boat ramps, yeah, and we simulate. We build boxes, so a 4-foot by 3-foot box.
So
with
where you noodle, you're already noodling out of a box.
Yeah. Yep.
So
yeah.
You
so
set
it's
them
a,
up.
So it's yeah. We're basically, you know, simulating a structure that they would typically go in and It's just easier that way. You know, people aren't fishing a hole, you know, and then you're trying to go in there behind them, you're not knowing whether they had fished it or not. So,
and your arm gets tore up. How does that happen?
So they got like sandpaper teeth,
It don't hurt too bad.
No. I mean, it takes, you might bleed a little, but you might just, you know, skin the hide off a little.
I saw some of those pictures.
Do you need to be, I don't know. I guess it's not
like a lot.
I still got all my fingers, so I guess that's a good thing.
What about the amoebas in the water? Yeah, you ain't worried about that?
Keep a bottle of hydrogen peroxide on the boat, spray it down.
What do you do with the fish when you pull it out?
You know, if we're wanting to cook some up, we'll keep some. But most of the time, we'll tag them. We'll put a little zip tie on their dorsal fin. That way we know if we've caught it before and turn it back.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to, you know, catch one you've caught, a couple years past. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sure. But, yeah, I mean, if it's not noodling season, normally shot at the shop, first thing in the mornings and, sponsor calls, meetings, that game never stops. So
You still heavy in working out and staying fit? I mean, I've seen a lot over the years you post in social media, tough workouts. And is that something that kind of comes and goes depending on your busy schedule, or is this something that's important to you to do all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to keep a routine in a busy traveling schedule. I've probably been a little slack on the workout side of things recently just because we've been so busy with a lot of meetings, trade shows, stuff like that. But as much as some people don't want to think driving a race car is tough and it's a sport, it is, and you can't be a slouch, and you see guys getting even more competitive with the way they prepare and try to be physically fit for these races. So I'm getting up there in age, so I gotta stay on top of my game and compete against all these young guys.
The Dale Jr. Download is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
You going to any concerts this summer, man?
I am. I'm seeing a concert in June. Hardy and Kit Moore.
Love Hardy.
In Charlotte. I was so stressed getting the tickets. I'm going to be front row. I'm in the pit. When these tickets go out, man, I am online as soon as tickets open. I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah, you got to act quick.
Yes.
And when you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for a business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. Mm. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
So, how did Daytona go this past weekend?
Oof. I thought as a whole it was a good weekend. You know, we had a plan and we were executing on everything we wanted to do. You know, our plan was to go down there. We did everything in practice we wanted to, a couple single car runs, and then got behind the Jordan Anderson team cars and got a little bit of a idea of where we were draft, but obviously not a true idea. And so at the start of the race, we qualified, I can't remember, 20-somethings, 24th or something like that. But the win was playing with everybody's lap there in qualifying. You know how important that is. Yeah. And I think we might have got a little bit of a bad win because we thought we were a little bit better than that from the previous day's runs. Started the race and got up in there and got a good idea of what we had handling-wise. And then decided we were going to ride and take care of our stuff and try and play it safe. And we did, and we took care of our stuff the whole race and then decided to go run hard right there at the end. And we were sitting 10th, and I saw all y'all's cars up there in the front, and I was like, well, you got the 21 and then all the JRM cars. I was like, they're going to be smart here. We're going to log laps, and then we'll race the last couple laps. And like you always do, everybody fights for everything. And Parker tried to do a move that works when it's executed properly, and he cleared himself and stuffed us in the fence, cut right front down, ruined our day. But it's sucks. I don't want to say it's part of it, but it is,
Yeah, so
at that track it is, I think.
Yeah, so when everybody goes to the top of the racetrack like that, you can, if you want, side draft the car on the outside, try to drag them back, create a hole in front of them, and leapfrog one car at a time. And he was trying to do that and was not even close to having you cleared, but drove up the racetrack and doored you into the wall. And I think, you know, judging by the public opinion, it was a unanimous that you know, that was a mistake that he made. You talked to him after the race. What was the conversation like?
I mean, I would have liked it to go a little better, you know, just didn't seem like there was much respect there, and that's unfortunate, you know. You know, I try to be as respectful as I can to guys on the track and race them the way they race me, and, you know, we all screw up, make mistakes, but, you know, at least be somewhat apologetic afterwards.
He didn't own it.
He didn't even know he stuffed us in the fence to start with.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It's kind of hard at the racetrack. I mean, these guys aren't seeing replays. They're not seeing what's happened. You're obviously going to think that you're making the right move. He's obviously going to think he's making the right move. And so, like, is that really the time, you know, is it something that you can follow up on to see if, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You may be been in that situation before.
I just like seeing Parker sweat.
Yeah.
I know Parker, and we're pretty good buds. But he made a mistake, and I was like, oh yeah, Jeffrey's gonna make him nervous.
I just feel like from the race, and like you're coming in the garage, you don't really feel like you made any mistakes if you're the driver at that point. You know, you're doing what you can, you're doing what you can try to do to win the race or put yourself in position to race. Yeah. So I don't think that anybody really probably thinks they made a mistake at that point.
Yeah. Nah, man. Like he didn't know, so I walked him over to the car, showed him where the left front was caved in, and he was like, "Oh, guess I did." Yeah, so he could have been a little more respectful about his responses.
Yeah. But
I agree.
Yeah. I understand that. Man, it does get annoying when they're like, "Oh, all right, well."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the way it went. You know, we're a small team. You know, working hard to get those good finishes, and you know, when someone doesn't seem to care that they ruined your day, it kind of, you know, pisses you off a little bit. But
yeah, and that's a track that you know, the playing field's kind of leveled in terms of what you can accomplish. You know,
you change your tire, you come back out. How'd the rest of the race go? I didn't get.
Yeah,
to see.
We just sat there, stuck a lap down at the end.
Got you. Yeah. Did you get across the line in one piece?
Yeah,
that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Well. I know where your shop is. You know where our shop, we're right next, we're neighbors.
On their old shop. The late model shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are y'all, that's where y'all are.
Yeah. So
well, they have two. Yeah. Yeah,
you got two now.
Yeah. They just acquired another building right there next to Padula. So that's going to be like right around the corner. Mm-hmm. But
okay.
So the heavy fab shop stuff will go on in the building next to y'all's late model shop. Yep. And then all the final setup stuff will
where
be up top.
Where you're hanging out at.
Yeah.
Up front. Yep. Okay. Well, so we did have you on the show in the past, and, you know, now that Kelly's here, I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about, you know, just some of the dynamics of the family, you know, and I think me and you have talked about this a little bit in the past, but I've always, you know, I hardly see you, you know, I don't see you as much as I'd like. It's funny because we do live next door.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I don't think either one of us make as much effort as we should to see each other. But, you know, over the past, you know, handful of years, you know, where do you feel like you fit in? What do you feel like your role or your place is in the Earnhardt, legacy?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've always tried to, you know, do stuff on my own and not have to rely on people.
That. You have this earning Earnhardt.
So I've always wanted to make sure, like, you know, I'm here because I've bust my butt to be here, you know, not because I was handed something or given the opportunity. And, you know, I felt like I did get that when I drove at DEI, you know, as a young kid, and I didn't realize what I had, you know, I didn't appreciate it enough. So moving forward from there, I wanted to make sure, you know, I earned what I got.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have. I mean, everyone's like, man, like, you know, there could be such an easier route. Like, and I'm like, I don't know for sure that there could be, but, you know, I want to make sure, you know, at the end of the day, people are always going to say whatever they want. But at the end of the day, I know I busted my butt to get where I am. You know, I got here because I worked hard, you know. I feel like I've proven myself on the track, off the track, and deserve to be where I'm at. So, kind of how I've looked at it. And you know, some say, you know, well, why don't you just go drive for Junior? And I'm like, well, if I had
it's that easy, isn't
if it? If I had the money, he'd probably you know let me drive for him. You know, it's a business at the end of the day. It's not, you know, hey, here's a free ride. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like I've always kind of I guess set myself apart from everything just to make sure that I was earning it and doing it, you know, doing it my way.
Yeah.
And I feel like that also helps with the pressure of the last name. You know, I know, you know, what Papa Dale did. I know what you did. I know what Daddy did, but you know, I'm doing my own thing. I'm doing, going my path and earning it my way. So I guess that's kind of how I've always looked at it. And that's kind of how I've always placed myself, I guess, in the family. You know, if I go this way and do it strong enough, I'm proving I'm going my own route, doing it my own way. So,
yeah.
Have you ever given up an opportunity to stay on that path, or has that ever come up where you've been forced to kind of make a decision, or no, or not?
As far as
like working on your own, or has there been an opportunity that's came that could have allowed you maybe to do something easier or better that you?
I mean, I don't think necessarily.
Or maybe not
no.
since the DEI
I mean,
kind of opportunity. Yeah, since
yeah not
that.
Really since the DEI yeah. thing. I mean, I've got, you know, a couple of great guys that work for me, Nico and Paul. They've, you know, been a big part, you know, moving my career forward and just being there to help with a lot of the things that, you know, we have to battle and sponsorships and stuff like that. So, you know, it's definitely not just me. You know, I've got, you know, other guys that have made this more possible than I have by myself. So, but yeah, no, I mean, we've just kept at it. You know, it's not easy. You know, as much as people want to think it is, it's difficult and it never ends. So we just kind of keep doing our own thing and hope that, you know, one day it all, pays off.
Everybody in the Xfinity series, even us, lives 1 year at a time.
Yeah.
You don't know what – we have no idea what next year looks like today until it gets here, and which is interesting, whereas you have more stability or a little long-term, a little longer runway in the Cup Series as opposed to what you think you're going to be doing. I want to know, you know, what has the last – you know, you've had some opportunities to – you've been in some very – difficult positions, driving cars that couldn't stay together, wouldn't stay together. You've drove great cars for Gibbs. So you've kind of now, in a way, been able to see both sides of it. You know, you've been able to see what being with a great team's like. And you know, obviously, well than most, what being with a team that's struggling to get there is like. What have you learned about yourself in the last couple of years? Is I don't want to make assumptions, but when you had the DEI thing happen years and years ago, you like anybody to, you know, didn't realize what kind of opportunity you had or how to handle that the right way or how to make the most of that, right? And as I've seen you kind of go through the last probably 5 or 6 years, it's like you've evolved as a man, you know, to minimize those mistakes or maximize each opportunity. You know, some of the things probably don't end the way you want them to. Some of them are frustrating because they don't get to the finish line. You have an agreement and it doesn't. You know, it doesn't work out the way it was all promised at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what have you done? How have you changed as a person to, you know, not blow up, not throw, you know, not stomp your foot, pitch a fit, make a scene? How do you swallow your pride in that moment when something goes wrong, and you got to regroup, you got to rebuild?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough.
You've had to rebuild 3 or 4 times, I think, in the last 6-7 years.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, when, you know, the Gibbs deal, obviously, you know, that was looking great. And I thought, man, this is going to turn out to be, you know, this is it. This is my break. You know, this is what I've been busting my butt for. And then it falls apart, you know. You know, it's like, man, like that. yeah, that sucks. Like, but at the end of the day, you lay there and cry about it, or you get up and get back to work. And that's kind of, you know, where I've looked at it. It's like, you know, and it's probably one of the, I would say, even going back to doing the MMA fight, like how hard we work at something to be successful. And, you know, that was even a little more extreme. Yeah. But that was probably one of the biggest character builders that I've had in my life was.
I would love to. I think that I'm glad you brought that up. You know, and I love talking about that moment in your life, not because I'm impressed that you trained to be an MMA fighter, got in a ring at an actual event and fought and won. That is impressive for anybody. But what that had to have done for you as a person, I just imagine where you would be today had you not went through that.
Yeah.
Discipline.
Yeah. No, I mean, I tell people all the time, like, the discipline aspect of that and, like, the fact of, I mean, I've never gotten fights in school. I wrestled, but, you know, I never gotten fights and stuff other than me and Bobby fighting. That's about it, you know? But, you know, to go in there, not a fighter, and do something like that, it wasn't me, and do it and be successful at it was a huge character builder to me, and was kind of like, all right, well, you know, this is how hard we got to work to be successful.
At what point did you realize that? Because I think sometimes when you do things like that, you don't realize in the moment of what it's doing and affecting you. So at what point did you realize how impactful that was for you?
Yeah, I would say, you know, a couple of days after, I woke up the next morning, I was like, man, I did an MMA fight last night. You know, it's like, like almost in disbelief, like, you know, holy cow, I did that, you know? Yeah. But, you know, then you sit back and you look at, like, what all you pulled out of it. Like, yeah, it was great exposure. Yeah, you know, did something one-off. Yeah, it was a bucket list checked off. But also, like, man, like, I just did something that I had no clue about. Busting my butt for 2 months, you know, training 4 hours a day, 7 days a week for this fight and won. And I was like, man, like, this is it. Like, this proves, like, you know, if you want it, you can go get it. You just got to bust your butt to do it. So that's kind of how I've looked at, you know, my racing career. You know, we get knocked down, and, you know, we've been knocked down plenty of times, but we always get back up and we keep fighting. And, you know, it's something, obviously, I have a huge passion to race. I love it. And I'm, you know, I tell everybody it's an addiction, you know, that you get hooked to, that adrenaline rush of just, you know, going out there and being competitive. But, you know, if you want it bad enough, you'll figure it out. And, you know, I feel like that's with anything in life. If you want it bad enough, there's ways to figure it out. You just got to go do it.
If you're a diecast fan like me, you know that Lionel Racing, they are the official diecast of NASCAR. Right now, our friends at Lionel are busy working on the 2023 diecast replicas of our favorite Cup, Xfinity, and Truck Series drivers, along with some of Lionel's most popular diecast raced wins. To create a raced wins diecast, Lionel artists hand-draw all the damage, all the scuffs, all those seen on the winning car in Victory Lane on Lionel's diecast template. They even add all the little pieces of confetti. These raced wins diecast capture a moment in time like no other collectible can. They're the next best thing to owning the actual race-winning car. Order a raced wins diecast now at lionelracing.com and get free domestic shipping if you use promo code DOWNLOAD23. That's promo code DOWNLOAD23 at lionelracing.com. NASCAR history and heritage come alive at the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Celebrate my fellow inductees Donnie Allison, Jimmy Johnson, and Chad Knaus with their class of 2024 artifacts enshrined in the Hall of Honor. Don't miss the Ford Performance Showcase. It's a new Inside NASCAR exhibit that showcases the Ford Mustang's next-gen car through its design and innovation. The latest edition of Glory Road explores over 75 years of racing history with its cool 33-degree banking and 19 cars on display. On Mondays and Fridays, there's guided tours that take you behind the scenes with incredible stories and access to a NASCAR Hall of Fame insider. Or you can explore the hall at your own pace with the new mobile hub. It's a digital experience. Get behind the wheel of a realistic iRacing simulator. Or you can learn how fast-paced pit stops work with the Pit Crew Challenge. From the legends who shaped the sport to the new heroes earning a spot in the record books, the NASCAR Hall of Fame delivers an unforgettable experience. Book your visit to the Hall today at NASCARHall.com. So you're at the shop often, every day?
Yeah.
When are you going to get married?
I don't know. Man, that's I thought we were talking about the shop. Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, you know, you're 33 years old.
Yep.
You know, you...
I'm playing the long game like you.
You are.
He could probably give you some advice on that when it comes to having kids. It's a long game. It does work out, but it's harder, isn't it?
There's some pluses and minuses. You know, do you think about family? Do you think about having kids? I know you probably don't spend much time on that during the day. Not like, you know, driving around in your car, think daydreaming about these things, but... Is that like, hey, man, I'm going to get to that eventually one day?
Yeah.
I do want to have that in my life at some point.
I feel like I always say I don't, only because, like, I want to chase this racing thing
hard for yourself,
forever.
Yeah.
Right.
But
you've had relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. And
what are relationships like for Jeffrey?
Difficult. You know, it's hard traveling all the time.
What's been the problem?
Just the travel, the nonstop, you know. Uncertainty being of gone, where you're going, yeah.
Not being able to be together all the time, then understanding.
Yeah, it's
because, like, difficult. You're going to get up in the morning and leave the house. You're not going to come back till when you come back.
Yeah.
And then you're going to noodle.
Yeah.
You know? And then you're going to go race.
Yeah.
On the weekend. Yeah. You might be gone 2-3 weeks.
And for me, it's like, you know, I want to put my heart and soul into racing because that's my passion.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess it's not fair.
Yeah, but, well, this girl's going to come along, man, and this has happened to you already once.
Yeah.
Where a girl came along and became everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I guess maybe having experienced, knowing how that can, you know, how priorities can, like, flip overnight. Because it's happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, I woke up one day and went, oh, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
Is this girl I'm dating. And then now everything else is second, third, fourth, fifth, right? She went from the bottom to the very top of the list. And, you know, I wonder, I guess maybe you haven't had that experience, right? At some point in your life, you at least know, all right, the next time I do that, I'm going to make sure it's the real deal.
I guess I feel like there's a time for everything. And when it's meant to be, it'll happen.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily fair when, you know, I'm so focused on racing.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be successful at this. I want to do big things, and it's hard to give someone else time. You know, it's like when I mean, you know how hard it is to be successful at racing. It's just
every day.
Yeah, so
every day. I wanted to go back as you were talking about your experience at Gibbs and your best finish in the Xfinity series with RCR, you know, with your second place there in the three car. And, I mean, I think I know the answer because I own Xfinity race teams, but just for kind of the listeners and all, what, you know, because we get that on social media, you know, why don't you do this for Jeffrey, or why don't you do that or whatever, but what makes it impossible for an RCR to put you in their car or a Gibbs or a Junior Motorsports or something? And, you know, those challenges. I mean, it's money. Ultimately.
It's money, yeah.
Right, yeah. I knew what it is.
$7 million, whatever the number is. You know, it's a lot of money.
Yeah,
And you know, I get it from the sponsor's standpoint. Like, you're asking them to spend a lot of money to put a sticker on a car.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's more than that, but you know, it's a big investment for anyone.
Yeah.
Even if you split it up amongst three people, full race season's not cheap. You know, so. Yeah, it just comes down to money. And, you know, I think, you know, it doesn't matter what, you know, big race team you go to or even a small race team, you know, if you don't have money, you know, you can be the best driver out there and may never get the opportunity. You know, we've seen plenty of guys that probably deserved it more than others and they just never get it.
What typically is the reason for a deal not working out? What is, I mean, they're all different, I'm sure. And I can think of some of our own experiences to get the answer to this. But for you, like, what has been the major source of frustration?
As far as, like, whether you close a deal or don't, or
something not finishing. Like you talk about the Gibbs opportunity. You know, what usually is the domino that falls?
Just how expensive it is the biggest thing. You know, it's our sport.
Brands maybe get in here thinking, I can do that. And they get about three-quarters of the way through the season or halfway through the season and go, yeah, this is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen it with several sponsors that come in the sport. And
do you, with Forever Lawn, do you have conversations with them about, hey, you know, these are some of the challenges, you know, that you're, you know, let's slow roll this thing. Don't get too get over your skis here.
We speak daily. Yeah. I mean, I talk to those guys every single day, and it's about, you know, how we find more money, how we find partners of theirs to come in to, you know, offset costs or partner up on this deal and make this partnership stronger than what it already is. You know, like I said, they're constantly speaking with companies that they might have relationships with that, or happen to have a family member that knows somebody that works at this company.
Right.
And, you know, they're pitching sponsors as much as we are. So, I mean, they know where they're at and they know how expensive this sport can be. And they're smart. You know, they don't go above their means. Mm-hmm. They know what they can do. They know what, you know, they're capable of, and we try to maximize it the most we can to make it where, you know, we can continue to do this for years to come. So
I know that you've drove great race cars before you stepped in Joe Gibbs equipment. I know that you've had a good car underneath you before, but what about that experience, I guess, helped you as a driver? A lot of guys, you know, we would always say, like, well, you know, this young, really, really young driver can't become great until he drives a good car. He can't become great driving a car that won't turn.
Yeah.
It has no power. That doesn't do things right. You know, if he's driving a bad race car, he's never going to learn.
Yeah.
And so you had a really, you know, that was where you were really, you know, you were in a good car on a more regular basis. How much better of a race car driver did you become during that experience?
I mean, a lot. I think I grew a lot in those handful of races, mm-hmm. just for the simple fact of knowing what you're looking for. I mean, if you've always been in not so great stuff, you don't know like the right way a car's supposed to drive. So you know what you want it to do, but you don't know that exact feel, you know, until it's under you.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably one of the biggest things for me. Like, we went to Atlanta, we ran, I don't know, fifth to eighth all day long. And I never liked Atlanta before that race. And after that, I loved it.
Yeah.
And then they changed it. So, but, you know, that was one of the harder tracks we went to, and it wear tires out. And everyone except Kevin Harvick had it, you know, Kevin Harvick was the only one that had it figured out, it seemed like. But, you know, until you get that car that drives the way, you know, does what you want it to do and it runs good, you don't really know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So I think just the simple fact of, you know, knowing what feels good, knowing what, you know, you think a car is supposed to do, what the right car is supposed to do, I think that was just a big growing part of understanding that feel, I guess.
That was I remember when I had a late model stock car and we raced it for about a year and a half before we ever bumped it, did the bump steer on it. And so, you know, basically when you bump steer a car, you're making sure the wheels are pointed in the perfect direction when the tire travels up and down. And so if you don't bump steer a car, as it goes into travel, the tires are turning, you know, slightly. But whichever direction, you don't know. You don't know which way they're going. It's either bumping out or towing out or towing in. And I bump steered the car, and man, the first lap on the track, I was like, holy moly, this thing is so much better through the center of the corner. And I have to imagine, I mean, like I say, you've not been in a bad race car your entire life.
Yep.
But when you did drive the Gibbs car, you probably were like, that light bulb came on, man. You were like, damn, okay, now I know what to ask for.
Yeah.
You know, and I also wonder too, you're up there running around the guys that run in the top 10 every week, right?
Yep.
And maybe that was a good experience in terms of teaching you some how to be aggressive, but also how to be patient, you know?
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, you go from running 20th to...
When you're running 20th, you're like 10 tenths all the time.
Yeah.
Like as hard as you can get.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then when you get that good enough race car, you can have, dial it back a notch at times, right? You don't have to be giving it every damn thing you got.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and you got, Justin up there. You got guys that have been there for... I mean, you got young guys up there too, but you got guys that have experience that you can go and race hard against and be, they're going to respect you. They're going to treat you right on the track. So, knowing that you're able to race these guys, competitive, like hard for these spots and not worry about them, getting loose underneath you or taking you out. And it still happens, yeah. But, it happens less often than, the guys in the back, that, may not have the experience that some of these guys do,
yeah.
Or the car's not driving as good, so it's more of a handful to hold on to.
Do y'all sit down and talk expectations this year? Like, do y'all set like any kind of specific goal?
I mean, yeah, like obviously running a full season, points are something we're wanting to watch, and I guess that's why I was so bummed after the Daytona race, because it was a good chance to capitalize on points for a small team to set that three race marker. Of when the points reset, like that could have been a big one for us. But, I'd like to think that we can be right there around the cutoff line. I don't think that's a easy goal by any means. I think
it's realistic.
Yeah. But I think it's something that we can do. If we race smart all year and race hard and points race, I think we can be there.
So if I was you, I might – then think, okay, who are the drivers that are typically at that spot, right?
Yep.
So you're looking at like Clements,
yep.
Sieg, those type of guys. And so those are, do you, when you go to the racetrack, is that kind of the class that you're comparing yourself to?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we know we're a B team. We're not an A team,
yeah.
Like y'all or RCR or Gibbs, but on certain days we can compete with, those A team cars when, we get our stuff right. Like, I think we're capable of competing with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you've seen it last year with those guys. They ran inside the top 10 and all day at Homestead. You go to some of these tracks where the tires wear out and, driver can shine a little bit. It's a chance for us to make strides and race against those guys and collect points. And that's what I think in the long term puts you right there at that cutoff line to be in the playoffs. So,
yeah.
And like I said, just being smart, not tearing cars up, bringing cars home, and making sure you're getting all the points that you can, when you can. So I think for me, that's the goal, is to be right there at that playoff line and try and make the playoffs,
yeah.
and have a successful year that builds their program, builds me as a driver, and something that we can move forward with for next year.
If you've ever been in the market for a new home, home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. What are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or the neighborhood best? And why can't all this information just be in one place? Dalton, this probably sounds real familiar to you.
It does. I just bought a house last year. And you asked, why can't all this information be in one place? Well, now it is. On Homes.com, they've got everything you need to know about the listing itself, but even better, they've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools. And their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history.
Homes.com collaboration tools make it easier than ever to share all this information with your family. It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Who do you spend time with? Every time I see you, you're by yourself.
Yeah.
categorize
you as a loner.
Yeah, I'm an outcast. As far as people in our sport?
Nope.
Just anybody. Just
your life.
Yeah.
Who's close to you?
I've seen you out at Millbridge there. I was going to ask you about Bobby and Brylan.
Yeah.
And like, are you involved in Brylan's racing? Or?
Yeah. I try to go out there and support him as much as I can. I think it's cool to see these young kids, out there doing their thing, Wyatt out there kicking butt, and, Brylan, my buddy Jason, his son Braden races out there, and I think it's just cool to go out there and hang out. But as far, I mean, I got, you know, my buddy Willie that I go noodling with. He's normally with me. I try not to go by myself just to make sure nothing bad happens. But
you know, you would go by yourself.
I have. Yeah.
Is it that much fun?
I mean,
I would think that this is only fun with someone else standing there laughing at you.
I mean, it is definitely more fun when you got. I mean, who wants to go catch a big fish and not have
and
someone
not
there
have
to brag
nobody
about?
To tell about?
Yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah. But you know, my buddy Willie, a bunch of my buddies from high school I still hang out with.
Still know a lot of friends from school.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
Mooresville High School.
Mooresville.
Same place as you.
Really?
Yeah. For a little bit. Yeah. I saw a soccer picture of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played one year. It was an interesting experience. I wasn't very good. My coach liked me, though.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I was going to go back to, like, memories about Dad, because I know, you know, we just hit the 22-year mark, so you were 10-ish when
like
we lost 10,
11,
Dad. And just, you know, maybe some of those memories. And as you think about, you know, being his grandson in this day and time, you know, is there anything that you can take from those times with him or memories?
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably one of the coolest was when all three of y'all, Daddy, you, and Papa Dale ran at Michigan. Was that just seeing the excitement and, you know, how much it, I felt like, I mean, I was a little kid, so I, you know, I'm just seeing what it meant to everybody to have y'all three racing against each other. That's probably one of the ones I remember the most. I thought that was just really cool. And I remember all the people around taking pictures and stuff of the three of y'all standing there. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, you never have enough time with people. And I wish I'd have gotten more time with him than what I did, just as I'm sure both of y'all do. And, around the track, probably that was probably the coolest thing that I thought, you know, just getting to see y'all get the chance to race together.
There was something else that I wanted to ask about. I'm just curious about this personally. And Carrie Dale was on the show, in a big way, just talking about his upbringing and obviously not knowing our dad until he was 16, and from being adopted and stuff. And when you guys were born, you and Bobby were born, you were born as Keys, which was Carrie's name at the time. And then, you know, since then, obviously you've changed your name to Earnhardt as Carrie has, which is good. What do you remember about that? Do you remember that process? Because I think you guys were little kids.
Yeah, I mean,
and was it something they did, or did it, like, what did it, you know?
I think it would have been maybe like right around like my senior year, maybe. So I was a little bit older.
Okay, yeah,
But, you know, I was starting to get into the racing thing, and, you know, Daddy had already changed his name. So then I don't even remember the conversation or how it came about us going and having ours changed as well.
Yeah. Did you and Bobby, your brother, both like eagerly want to go do that? Or was this something you were like, well, what does that mean? Why are we doing this? What was the emotion?
I'll be honest. Like, I don't
remember.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I remember thinking like, yeah, it'd be cool to, you know, have the same name as Daddy and y'all. And
I guess that was the thing too. Like, if you're looking at your dad and you don't have the same last name and you're like, I want your name.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I would feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, I think that was a lot of it. And,
did you have any kind of, feelings about, like, what does that Key surname mean to you? You know, what kind of emotions were you having about having to put that to bed or change away from that, right?
Yeah, you know, Mama, you know, she remarried to Jack.
Yep.
And, you know, he was, I remember as a kid spending a lot of time with him and everything. And so I know, like, I don't think it really hurt their feelings having the names changed.
Yeah, but I mean, did you have any reservations, I guess, about that part of it? No,
I don't know. I feel like I was just so young. I was like, I guess
18's
it's just
not
a name.
Young though, but let me set that up. Yeah,
your experience with Jack though, yeah. was incredible. Oh, I mean, I've heard so many awesome. Good things about Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've just barely kind of got to meet him a little bit. He managed a Hardee's.
Yep.
Maybe multiple Hardee's, but I know he managed one in particular that me and Carrie got $500 from the spot on the hood of our street stock car. And I was like, well, that's really cool. You know, Carrie is really dabbling in this Earnhardt side of his life, right? Yep. He's diving into what is Earnhardt? What is Earnhardt about? You know, what
does this mean? Yeah.
What is this side of me that I don't know anything about? And I don't know how that must have felt for Jack, right?
Yeah.
And for Jack to even be supportive of him and something I was doing too, I thought said a bunch about his character.
Yeah. Yeah. He was an awesome, awesome man.
Yeah.
Was a lot of fun to be around. He liked to golf. He'd always go junking. Like he'd go to the junkyard.
Picking
and
carrying.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Buy stuff.
That sounds kind of fun.
Take it to the scrapyard. Yeah. So,
that actually does sound fun.
Doing that as a kid's always cool. Walking through a junkyard, picking up old junk parts.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to know him pretty well because Carrie and I both raced a lot of the same places when we raced late models, and Jack, you know, came and helped on the late model. But I was just setting it up for the listeners. Like, Jack and Latane is Carrie's parents that he was raised by. So those are the grandparents that you grew up under, and those are your, you know, Easter memories and Christmas memories and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, as far as Dad and Teresa was concerned, I remember Dad not wanting even to be Pawpaw, right?
Yeah. Like
he didn't want to even, he wasn't ready for that.
He pushed back against growing up and getting old.
Yeah, and our family stuff was more about memaws, you know, so we would go to memaws. It wasn't as much about Christmas or Easter or anything like that with Dad and Teresa. And so that part of the grandparent thing is not your typical grandparent experience from y'all's perspective. And then you had Renee's parents, the Kleins, which is how you got involved in racing, you know, racing up in Whiffle, who were kind of that same type of grandparent. And her dad, Richard, I think
Richard,
his name, was kind of that same way, you know, as you were growing up, I remember.
Yeah, he was the one that helped get me to the racetrack when I first started racing up there in Whiffle, Virginia. And would help me work on the car. I mean, he was the one that, you know, got me to and from the track, helped me, you know, do things, which his brothers had raced up there for many years. He'd always, you know, that's, I guess, what got me into the racing thing was him always taking us up there. And then I was there one time when they announced they were going to start that class for, I think it was 12 to 18 could compete in it. And I was 12 years old at the time. And I was like, man, I want to go race. And, you know, Daddy wouldn't let me. I had to beg him for 2 years.
So.
Sounds familiar.
Where did you live? You lived down here.
Lived down
and
here.
And racing was going to be up there.
Yeah.
Right? And so you ended up sort of spending.
Spend my summers up there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'd drive, like if school was going on, we'd drive back and forth. I think that was more so once I started racing late models and stuff. But yeah, that's where I first started was 2 hours away from here. So
right, it's interesting, man, that you know, being you're an Earnhardt, but you have so many influences. You know, Jack, you have so many male influences that are not direct lineage of Dad, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know Ralph, but Danny and Randy and all them were influential. But you had like multiple sets of grandparents in a unique way that heavily influenced your racing and your life and where you end up going. I know that there have been times throughout your life where your relationship with your dad has been good and difficult, right? What is it about you two that makes y'all so hard-headed?
I think we're too much alike, I guess. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that I always wondered about why I don't pretend to know very much. And Carrie and you both are very private, you know, about what's going on between, you know, much what's going on in your lives, really.
Yeah.
You have to really call Carrie up and go, hey, man, where have you been? What have you been doing? Because he's not going to come tell you.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, what is it that makes you two butt heads, or is it even that you do butt heads? What kind of relationship is it like, you know, with Carrie?
I think it's just being too similar. Like we both want to think we're right, and reality we're both probably wrong. But
does he does he know much about what, you know, details of your racing and things you're doing?
No.
So he does he call and go, hey, man, what you got going on?
No. I just try to, like I said, I've always kind of almost outcast myself to do my own thing.
You purposely, like, sort of keep everybody at arm's length.
I wouldn't say purposely. It's just kind of how it all works out.
Why does it work out that way?
It's just the way it is. I mean, I like to be an independent person.
Like
that wants
way.
To. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, being able to prove myself, I guess, more than anything
to your dad.
Nah, to everybody. I mean, I think you know. I mean, I guess for myself too. I mean, proving to myself that this is
you're more than content. You know, being on your own.
Yeah.
And so is it
maybe
it,
it's a stubbornness, hardness, I don't know.
is the frustration more from Carrie going, hey man, why don't you tell me what you got going on? And you're just like, hey man, I'm busy, I'm doing things. Does he get frustrated with you because you're not like, hey man, this is what I'm doing, this is what's happening in my life.
Yeah.
Just letting you know, just keeping you up to speed.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean
do you wish you heard from him more?
I mean, it would be bad, you know?
Yeah.
But
I'm like completely in the dark on why you two sort of have this sort of, you know, up and down relationship.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of been curious as to what Carrie, everybody loves Carrie.
Yeah.
Right? But I guess being his son can be come with his own set of challenges.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
are you and Bobby close?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He lives right up the road too. So
does he?
Yeah, yeah.
What's he doing now?
Tick closer to you than
He was racing Xfinity cars a couple years ago.
Carl Long. Now he's
what's he doing?
He sells like high end security cameras.
Yeah, he's got an awesome job.
Yeah, he's doing really well.
Yeah.
And then obviously he's got three kids now. You know, he's got them getting into racing and trying to keep that.
How often do you talk with him?
Probably not as much as I should. You know,
but enough.
But yeah.
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 You and him don't get frustrated with each other.
Oh, we do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, in a, I guess, like in an understanding manner, I guess.
It's
like
easy to get over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think my guess is.
Me and Kelly,
that's what I was going to say. I think my guess is.
We can spin each other out in a heartbeat.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I got the talk before. Yesterday, I got the talk, you know. Brothers and sisters, you know how we act now. No, I was just going to get back to kind of the family stuff because I don't want to leave it hanging. But, you know, I think from my perspective, it's kind of the same. There are similarities in our family, all the way from dad down, that we've all been through and grown up with. You know, Dale and I grew up with step parents. We grew up with, half siblings. You are in the same, you've been in the same situation. You know, you live with your mom, then you went to live with your dad and Carrie, had an older sister, then have a younger sister that is both them. Then there's you and Bobby, and you still have your mom, you know, over. And, you know, so there's just dynamics, I know, that play a part. But yeah. I'm going to use this forum because he knows how I feel about this. When is just to say that family don't last forever.
I don't know.
And, he knows that.
You know, and so I'm sure there's just things that probably need to be discussed and aired out at some point.
So
whenever the two of y'all feel comfortable.
This is the perfect example of mine and Jeffrey's relationship. So I think we get along really well.
Yeah.
I think that you like me and I like you.
Yeah.
And I think that we would probably enjoy spending any time together wherever we were at, right? But I it was Nashville last year, Nashville race weekend. It was Sunday. I guess the race was Sunday. It had rained and delayed the finish of the race. I had planned, my wife was in town with me, and I had planned to stay in town after the race and go home in the morning. We were going to visit some friends, and we were going to go down to Broadway. And so I'm calling Amy, and I'm like, man, I'm going to get there when I get there. Rain delay. So I ended up getting to Broadway like 1 or 12 o'clock midnight. And they're in the bar hanging out, Amy and our friends. And we drank some beers and had a great time. We come out of the bar at about 1:30, and I run into Jeffrey. And Jeffrey's happy to see me, and I'm happy to see him. But we're meeting at the end of the night. That's been my whole life around you, is that, damn it, for once I wish we could meet earlier in the night, you know, because I would have loved to have spent those 2 hours in Nashville with you.
I guess, I could definitely do better, but always, I'm me like, too. I know you're busy.
Dude,
and
me
I'm
too.
Like, man, like I don't want to bother him. Like,
I know, but that one night we went fishing.
Bow fishing? Yeah.
I mean, it was a simple thing, and we haven't never done it since, but I had so much fun.
Yeah.
My wife was like, you got to go. I was like, should I go? I don't know nothing about that, and it's in the middle of the night. She's like, yeah, it's your brother. It's your nephew. Gosh, yes, go. And I wish we did that more. I know that's like cliche as hell to say, but, you know.
Well, you said on Broadway you'd go noodling, so.
I did.
Yeah.
I was drunk.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to get drunk to go noodling.
I'll bring a cooler
beer. I'm going to tell your ass right now to stick my arm down in that water and in a box and pulling them things up. I'm going to have a few. Yeah. Maybe. Some High Rock.
I'll make sure it's nothing but a catfish. Yeah. I tell everyone all the time.
Have you ever pulled anything else out?
No. Nope.
Besides a catfish?
No,
God.
I check with a cane pole, so I know pretty much what's in there. Something's before.
In
there. Yeah, before you
stick. Is there more than one in there?
Sometimes. Yeah. We pulled the biggest one I've ever caught was 54 pounds, and it was
from
in
where?
High Rock. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was in the same hole with a 35 pounder.
Good Lord.
So a lot of meat in a box.
What'd you do? What did you do with that one? Did you keep
it? Just turn it loose. Took a picture, turn it loose.
Wow. 54 yeah.
That's
pounds.
The one that was on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
54 pounds. Good Lord.
Yeah, we've caught some good ones, though.
Picture this. It's blazing hot outside and you need to head to work. You get into your car and turn on the AC to get the cold air pumping as soon as possible, but it doesn't work. Instead, blowing hot air out of your vents and directly into your face. No, your car doesn't hate you. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the air conditioning system, and there's an easy all-in-one solution that will restore your cold air in no time.
There's no need to go to the shop and pay lots of money when you can save time and money recharging yourself with AC Pro Recharge Kits. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience. And the AC Pro app offers clear, vehicle-specific instructions to help you get the job done in less than 10 minutes.
So pick up an AC Pro Recharge Kit at any store selling auto products and confidently restore your car's cold air yourself today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
What racetrack are you looking forward to? Man, I'm gonna tell you right now. Kelly's gonna get mad at me. I'm so damn jealous that you're going to run Fontana this weekend. I want to run there so bad. It's the last time that they're gonna be able to race at that track, and that asphalt is the perfect age. Well, I told Kelly, I said I'd really like to run that one, but we couldn't put nothing together. Yeah. We could not put nothing together.
Really?
So shows you how tough it is.
It's definitely difficult, but I'm looking forward to going back to Fontana. We got a really cool paint scheme this weekend. It's a Jesus Revolution movie.
I wanted to ask about that. Tell us about that.
So
I saw the trailer. It looks good.
Yeah. Oh, it's an incredible movie.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
I
saw it early. No. Yeah.
Is it good?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. It really was a great film. Just the production of it, it's really good. Yeah. But the Forever Alone people have a big relationship with Harvest Church out in Riverside, and they got one in Orange County as well. But it's pretty much the movie's pretty much the whole Jesus Revolution and through Pastor Greg's eyes, and Pastor Greg's the pastor out at Harvest, and pretty much tells his story of how he saw, you know, all these hippies that were, you know, doing drugs, having sex, drinking alcohol, you know, coming to Christ. So we got to talking, Dale and Brian, the owners of Forever Alone, like, man, it'd be really cool if we could help promote this movie somehow. So we started a donation page. We've raised enough money that we're going to run, I think we're going to run Fontana and Vegas with the Jesus Revolution paint scheme.
I saw a paint scheme. It's pretty cool.
Off of purely donations from people that really want to promote this movie and
just
and
to keep the movie
out.
On the car.
Yeah. So really excited about that. You know, we had a good run going last year, and then we had a battery issue there. I think the last caution, I think we were running like 10th in the Sam Hunt car last year.
It's forever long on every car. All year long, is it a full deal?
No.
You got any open races?
The majority sponsor. We're still working on selling some sponsorships.
Do you know how many open races you got?
I think we got 7 right now.
Okay.
So still working to actively sell those races. And, you know, like you said, it's hard. But
that's important to know, though.
Yeah, we definitely have anyone looking to sponsor. We got room, as I'm sure everyone else does. But, yeah, definitely, you know, would like to get those sold. Obviously, you know, every penny helps and can build a stronger race program, like, you know, lease motors when we can.
Where do y'all get your motors from?
ECR.
Okay.
So we had good steam down there at Daytona, and we got a lease motor going to Fontana, so that's nice.
When it's not a lease motor, right, what is it?
It's a ECR bought motor. So Alpha Prime, they own –
They own a couple engines themselves.
Yeah, they got quite a few engines that they
own. And it's going to be just a little less than the lease.
Yeah, I mean,
the lease is a little more.
Just because it's not went through and
is
up to date.
You know, used to, you know, a lease motor would be worth, you know, 12, 13 horsepower.
Yeah.
And now today, everything's so up to date and new that
it's not as much.
You're, you know, you're 5, 6 horsepower, but, you know, at this level, every little crumb helps.
It does. Yeah.
So you take anything you can get.
That leads me to ask this question about, like, as far as, and Dale asked earlier, kind of your goals. Do you sit down and kind of have ABC races, like races that you know that are where you can perform well and where you want to really do good and put some of your funding versus, you know, B and C kind
of
races?
Yeah, definitely. We try to look at, you know, all right, where do we typically run good at, and sit down as a group, you know, and as I said, Forever Lawn's involved in almost every business conversation meeting we have with my team at GEI. But we say, you know, like Bristol, for example, I feel like I typically run pretty well at Bristol. I feel like a lot of drivers say that, but we tend to run pretty decent there, and feel like we can go there and run good. Dover, I really like racing at Dover. So you sit down and say, all right, well, these are races we should focus on, really, you know, putting a push towards and try to make sure we take the best stuff we can there. So we can, you know, take full advantage of that opportunity. But, yeah, we definitely weigh out the odds on what's going to be more beneficial for us as a team.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming and hanging out with us today. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. Looking forward to seeing, you know, what you do this year with this opportunity. Is it a 1-year deal?
Yeah, 1-year deal for right now. So we'll regroup at the end of the year, see what next year holds.
Got to sign that thing mid-season, man. Well,
it's all about money.
Go out there and get a couple. Yeah,
the money's there.
You're battling in the top, you know, in the top 10 or top 15 in points and get you a new deal.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Go out there and have some success on the track and be there in the points at the end of the year and prove that we can do it. Hopefully some more sponsors come aboard and be ready to get after it again next year.
Sounds good, bud.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelly, for coming in here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Yes, sir.
Jeffrey Earnhardt on the Dale Jr. Download. Man, I'm really excited to have Ally help us bring the guest segment every week. It's one of my favorite parts of the Download. We get to talk to so many different people in racing, outside of racing. But everybody that comes in here, I want them to have had a good time. I want them to want to come back. I want them to feel like an ally to Dirty Mo Media. Thank you, Ally, for your continued support of the Download and the entire Dirty Mo Media team. Check out Dirty Mo Media. Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.